is Deanna. This is our second hour, and my guest the last 2 hours today is Pam Colleen. She is an expert on addiction, something that the majority of the population has in this country. She is the co-author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax, and the author of the books Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, and newly released, and I got it at the beginning of the week when we initially talked about having Pam on the program today, Survival of the Unfittest, How Wisdom Will Save Humans from Falling into Extinction. And I finished it, I think it was on Thursday morning. Fabulous, fabulous book. Everybody needs to read this book.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Deanna. Thank you.
It's true. I learned so much from reading your book. She has been independently studying nutrition and national health for almost 30 years. Her interest in these areas stems from overcoming a lengthy battle with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivities. As a nutritional consultant, she works with clients all over the world. She is a dynamic and diverse public speaker and a radio personality. Her website is pamcolleen.com, and you may find her at Facebook, facebook.com/pam.colleen.9. Okay. Your book is really great. I mean, I couldn't put it down. And I think it's just wonderful. I really did not think about the connection between fats and erectile dysfunction. I can't even imagine doing a program on this. I'm such a prude.
My last book was Addiction, which is the elephant in the room. It's a taboo subject, right? And
yes.
This book is about human sexuality, which is yet another taboo slash elephant in the room. And people are generally very uncomfortable talking about human sexuality. But because the situation to me today, when I look around, is so incredibly dire, I don't see anything else that we can do but to start talking about this conversation, because our kids are in big trouble. I don't know how humans are going to be able to procreate given how incredibly sick our children are today.
Exactly. I know that they're sick. I know they're sick for a number of reasons. But the fat reason, from taking fats out of the diet, it was just amazing.
Right. So what I tried to do in this book is I try to show an overview of the perfect storm that is going on right now. And one of the main principles I talk about that sets us up for this perfect storm that is essentially compromising healthy human sexuality is this animal fat equation. So once we started reducing our consumption of animal fat, which by default means we have been reducing our consumption of cholesterol, dietary cholesterol, this means we have been starving our hormones. So my last book was about how the elimination or reduction in animal fat and cholesterol has starved our brains, essentially. This book is about how the reduction of animal fat and cholesterol in our diet has starved our hormones. And so we are hormonally a mess today. And unfortunately, a lot of people are out there, you know, trying to somehow or another replete or fix the hormonal imbalances by using hormones. But I just don't see that that's working. There's so much more going on to this hormonal imbalance problem than meets the eye. It's a very complex situation biochemically that we've set ourselves up for, but we have to first identify what is starving, what is throwing off our hormones in the first place, because fixing this problem once it's become a problem is rather difficult to do. And one of the things we have to do to regain our healthy human sexuality is to re-implement these animal fats, these healthy animal fats, into our diets, because they're what is necessary for the production and balance of hormones.
Exactly. And you hear all the time on television, they're always advertising things for erectile dysfunction. There's infertility. I mean, I know a lot of people just within my own circle who are unable to get pregnant. And I'm thinking, gosh, this just was not the case several decades ago. I mean, people, you never heard of infertility. It was almost unheard of. And low libido, erectile dysfunction, PMS, hot flashes, sexually speaking, you've indicated that we're a mess.
Oh, we're a total mess. Total mess. I mean, if you look at the issues you just discussed there, but there's, you know, what about the increased rates of miscarriages? What about birth defects in children? Stillborns? We're seeing problem after problem after problem. And a lot of the work that I do is based on the research of Dr. Weston A. Price. And when he studied primitive cultures who were eating their native foods, he didn't see these problems. He saw, you know, healthy conception. He saw healthy babies. He didn't see a lot of these problems. He didn't see any of these problems, essentially, that we're seeing today in our quote-unquote, civilized society. I mean, what we're doing to humans today, to me, is so cruel. It's beyond cruelty, what we're doing to ourselves today, because all of these poor couples who are trying to have babies and cannot, you know, they're missing the point. Their eye is off the target. They're running around going to infertility clinics and so on, but they haven't been told the truth about fertility. They don't know the fundamental laws with regards to nutrition and how certain foods are crucial to healthy fertility, healthy libido, and so on.
Right. And I love the stories in your book. You interviewed several people, and one of the stories, one of the persons that you interviewed, had a young man come in. He was in his 20s, and he was just, he was having an issue, and she said, okay, you eat 10 eggs a day, you eat a stick of butter, and several other things, whole milk, whole raw milk, and come back and see me in a month. And he was very, very happy a month later. And you also talk about the Indians, the Native Americans, when they wanted to conceive for a whole month, they would eat nothing but bear fat, or was it Alaskans? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Either one, it's going to work, okay? I mean, there's several stories in your book that illustrate this.
You bet.
Well, go ahead.
No, it's, and I can't emphasize enough. I have been teaching these principles through the Weston A. Price lecture series. I've been teaching that lecture series now for well over 10 years, and it's fascinating, Deanna, when I'm teaching a class and I have it over 4 weeks. So every week I revisit with my students, and they start implementing the animal fats in their diet. And generally speaking, and I'm oversimplifying this, by the way, but generally speaking, my students will come up to me and say how much more calm they feel when they start eating more animal fat in the diet, that they start potentially sleeping better at night. But another piece of feedback I get quite commonly is that they have improved libido, that the guys are happier because they're performing better in the bedroom, you know.
Sure.
So when I talk about those stories in my book, and you know, they sound very anecdotal, but I can't tell you how often I have seen, people's lives change just because they start eating correctly.
Right. And you used a term, or one of the people that you interviewed, can't remember exactly which guy it was or which person it was, but he talked about fractured food. That is such a great term, because that is what most people are eating, and yet we have obesity in this country, and people are using Viagra, Cialis, all these expensive things, mm-hmm. And yet all they would have to do is eat whole food.
Yeah, it would be a big part of the story, and there's no doubt about that. Yeah, the fractured foods, of course, I mean, they're separated, they're adulterated, they have all sorts of chemicals added to them potentially, you know, preservatives, additives, dyes, and so on. And a lot of the additives that go into our food supply that we are affected by, of course, are estrogen mimickers, right? So we are this perfect storm, Deanna, that I mentioned earlier, where, you know, this low-fat diet has been starving our hormones, essentially. But we also have all of these industrial estrogens that are confusing our hormones as well. And that will compete with progesterone, for example, and testosterone. So it's no wonder people don't have a sex drive today. It's no wonder people aren't thinking clearly. It's no wonder people are not making good decisions in relationships, is because they really just don't have the right hormonal balance in order to be able to do that in the first place. So this is part of the perfect storm. You have, you know, the low-fat diet contributing to the problem, and then on top of that we have this very toxic food supply and many other environmental issues that are also involved in the our overexposure to these industrial estrogens. We have all of these factors combining into one to basically make us extremely confused and deprive millions of people of having a healthy sexuality.
Amazing. Yes, mm-hmm. It is. And you talked too about, in your book, you talked about pornography, online pornography, and you talked about how people are just tired. They're tired, they're overworked. You also asked one of the persons that you interviewed if this whole scenario was somehow Darwinian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the survival of the fittest. We have to be wise, extremely wise today, to be able to reject the many variables that are compromising this healthy human sexuality. You know, pornography, I'm no prude. Don't get me wrong. I am no prude. But I think we have crossed the line in the sand in terms of this overexposure to hypersexuality today. And it's confusing a lot of people in terms of being able to bond correctly and properly with somebody that they love. And so it's compromising relationships and the ability to, you know, fall into a relationship or stay in a relationship. I can't tell you the number of men I've spoken with who have become addicted to online pornography, and they can't fall into a healthy relationship. You know, young men in their 20s, for example, they can't find the woman of their dreams, because they're so sexually confused. They, you know, their cues that they're getting from pornography are not what they're going to get in a bedroom with, you know, the girl next door, so to speak, you know what
sure.
I mean? So they're never going to be satisfied sexually, because their cues that they're getting are from a very artificial source. And and then I talk to a lot of men who are addicted to pornography, and they're married, and they can't stay married, of course, because their expectations are so high with their spouse that they can never be fulfilled in the bedroom. So these marriages, unfortunately, are falling apart. And this doesn't bode well for the children, for the stability of the family unit. It's a very serious situation, and because sex is such a taboo subject, we're just not talking about it enough.
Indeed, and it starts early for some young men.
Right.
Mostly it's men that are addicted to pornography online.
Right.
I have known of women who I think it's very addictive, but I think it's mostly men who fall into this. Mm-hmm. And recently on the news, there was a guy who took a girl to his apartment, or he's a college kid, and he was attempting to act out with her something that he had seen in a recently released movie. I don't know whether that's a national story or whether it's just in this area, but of course he was arrested, and mm-hmm. I haven't followed the case. But when you're young and you get addicted to pornography, and it's so available, mm-hmm. as you indicated in the book, even if you want to see how addictive it is, you will, and you type it into Google, they will take you to a pornographic site. And so it is very easy for young children, especially when their mothers are working and they don't have supervision, mm-hmm. to be involved with online pornography early on.
Yes.
And then they grow up thinking that this is what sex is, and it is so addictive that they might not ever have a relationship at all.
That's right. And so how are they going to be able to have the healthy family unit, raise children that are stable in a stable environment, and so on? So, you know, this is why I say there's a perfect storm going on. I don't want to just say it's the animal fat, although the animal fat is the foundation, in my opinion. I don't want to just say it's the xenoestrogens. I know that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. Because, you know, with this issue around pornography or this hypersexuality of society, I can't tell you the young people that I speak with and how there's just, you know, these young men are trying to find a relationship, and they may not be, you know, addicted to pornography or anything along that line, but they're trying to find a healthy woman to fall into a relationship with, and they're just not finding that healthy woman. The women today are, keep in mind, second and third generation on a low-fat diet, and without the animal fat, it's hard to be stable emotionally, psychologically, mentally. And so the men are coming to me, reporting to me, you know, that these women that they're going out with are extremely unstable and have a lot of anxiety, and, you know, their hormones are up and down all over the map, and they can't, these young men are scratching their head and they're saying, what's going on, you know, what's happening? I want to be in a relationship, but she's really erratic with her behaviors. And I'm getting the same type of report from women in their 20s looking for a guy to be in a relationship with. You know, generally it's the lethargy, the fatigue, the apathy, you know, or they're addicted to, you know, gaming, for example. You know, they're only interested in playing their video games. So that they're not going out and getting a full-time job, or they're not finishing university or school in general. So we're seeing so much instability among our youth that it's a real concern in terms of, you know, in my opinion, the future of humanity, really.
Sure. And they're marrying later, and oftentimes not having children, and divorce. You talked about divorce, the divorce rate.
But I also talk about the unemployment rate.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely, you did.
And when I had chronic fatigue, keep in mind, I don't know, I've been on your show before, and I think I've talked about my history with the chronic fatigue,
yes.
But I collapsed in my early 20s. I literally just collapsed with chronic fatigue. But when I collapsed with chronic fatigue, I actually had a memory of being excited to wake up for the day and, you know, feeling joy and euphoria and, you know, just overall energy. You know, I remember having real energy. And so when I collapsed in my early 20s, I knew what I needed to do to be able to return to the way I had felt. So I knew something was very, very wrong when I had chronic fatigue. And along with that, of course, the brain fog and the insomnia and so on. So I fought tooth and nail to get my health back, because I had a frame of reference, Deanna.
Sure. But you were also...
They're born sick, so they don't know that they're sick. And that's my big concern.
Exactly. Now, your diet growing up as a child was not that great. You also had an issue, according to your book, of over-exercising.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
And you were, you became a vegetarian for 9 years, or vegan. So tell us about that. And, I mean, the over-exercising thing, I think that's very important. We've had some, I had a father of a runner on, probably a month ago. Okay, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it. Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
We are back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Pam Colleen. Her websites are pamcolleen.com and on Facebook it's /pam.colleen.9. And I was talking about this gentleman that I had on the program. His son, who was a college kid, was a runner and just simply dropped dead of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And you said in your book that you were an over-exerciser and you were following the fad diets in the 1980s, and they seemed to come from good sources and authoritarian figures, and yet here you are really, really, really sick and thinking that you were doing the right thing, trying to get healthy, and so tell us.
Yeah. So, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, actually, let's go back further. In the 1970s, of course, that's when the low-fat lie essentially hit its hiatus.
Okay.
And, you know, I followed it religiously in the 1970s and, of course, collapsed in the 80s with chronic fatigue. I was in that first wave of people collapsing with these kinds of conditions, whether it's chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, anxiety, you name it. You start to see a huge amount of people dropping like flies, essentially, after this low-fat lie hit its hiatus in the 70s. And so in the 80s, of course, after I collapsed, you know, you start, you know, looking for answers. And one of the myths that I bought into was that exercise gives you energy, and I had no energy. So I would spend hours a day exercising very strenuously, you know, jogging or running on a treadmill or, you know, stair climbing or whatever the case may be in the gym, doing laps in a pool, another thing I used to do. And I didn't realize that all that time when I was doing all that strenuous exercise, it kept wearing down my batteries. It wasn't building my energy at all. If anything, it was wearing down my batteries. And now that I see that in hindsight, I just cringe at the hours and hours and hours I spent over-exercising, thinking that it was healthy. And yet it was one of the decisions I had made that actually made me sicker in the long run. And since I've learned to not exercise so unwisely, I still exercise. I'm a big believer in exercise, but it has to be smart exercise. Since I've unlearned this behavior, when I meet elite athletes, and I do, I get to meet elite athletes, okay? From highly competitive levels, right? And they come to me and they have collapsed with chronic fatigue, brain fog, depression, insomnia. They don't have a sex drive. I mean, they have worn down their batteries to the bare minimum. I can't tell you. I've lost count of the elite athletes I've spoken with who've ended up in the same boat, essentially. So I just don't see it. What happens with strenuous exercise is when people have worn down their adrenal glands, which I call the batteries in the body, what they do is they get a stimulant effect from jogging, for example. So it acts, the stimulant exercise acts on the adrenal glands just like caffeine or sugar or crack cocaine would. It's a stimulant. So it gives people a false sense of energy. But what people don't realize is that you're essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul every time you overstimulate the adrenal glands. And in the long run, you know, you're basically just flatlining those adrenal glands. They're not going to work properly. So as you stress those adrenal glands beyond their capacity, then, of course, you're compromising your sex hormones because your adrenal glands produce both. They produce the stress hormones and the sex hormones. So if you're pushing too hard on the adrenal glands using stimulants, then you're compromising the ability for the adrenal glands to produce the sex hormones. So it's no wonder people who overexercise can't sleep well at night or don't get a high quality sleep at night, and their sex drive goes away, and they end up with all sorts of lethargy, fatigue, apathy, and depression, and brain fog, and so on. So it's not the health activity that it's being painted to be. It's actually quite detrimental to your health to engage in all of this extremely strenuous exercise. So the contrast of that, Deanna, is when I'm working with people who have debilitating chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, anxiety, insomnia, etc., is I instruct them to become couch potatoes. They have to become couch potatoes at first, because in order to heal the adrenal glands, I ask them to visualize that the adrenal glands are in a cast, broken, like a broken arm or a broken leg, that they need to be static in order so that they heal. So my clients are very proud couch potatoes as they heal. As they get stronger, they can engage in some exercise, whether it be yoga or stretching or perhaps light weights, maybe golf. Myself, I play tennis, but I try not to play singles. I play more doubles because it's not very strenuous. I don't want to, now that I'm healthy, I don't want to compromise my adrenals again. So I'm a big believer in exercise, but it has to be smart exercise. Exercise that doesn't wear down your batteries, doesn't wear down your adrenal glands.
Wow. Yeah. Well, in the beginning of your book, and that is important, and I think that the big exercise craze came along at about the same time that the low-fat craze started, right?
You bet. Yeah, so the running sort of awareness began in, say, about the 60s, so close, yes, very close back-to-back to the low-fat. So the mantra starting in the 60s and the 70s was to eat lean, low fat, and go jogging, join a gym, and it became a very popular trend back in those decades.
All righty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsor.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from strikehardgear.com.
Strike what?
Strikehardgear.com.
Set your sights on strikehardgear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
We are back. This is Deanna. Our guest the last 2 hours is Pam Colleen. She is an expert on addictions. Her website is pamcolleen.com, and she also is on Facebook, and that is pam.colleen.9. At the beginning of your book, you have a survey that I thought was very interesting. Did you want to finish up? We were talking about right before the break.
We can carry on. It's fine. We're going to be talking for a while yet, so I'm sure we'll get on topic.
All righty. The statistics. In a survey conducted among a large U.S. sample, the prevalence of sexual dysfunction is 43% for women and 31% for men. Erectile dysfunction, erectile dysfunction increases as men age, with 52% of the men ages 40 to 70 having some degree of impotence. Number three, erectile dysfunction is becoming increasingly common in younger men, approximately 8% of men in their 20s, and 11% of men in their 30s admit to suffering from impotence. Number four, by 2025, researchers predict that as many as 6.5 million American men ages 30 to 79 will experience hormonal deficiency symptoms, an increase of 38% from 2000 population estimates. Number five, in 2004, between 30 to 40% of men and women reported a lack of sexual interest for several months that year, based on surveys of 27,000 men and women in 29 countries. Number seven, the sexual complaint most commonly heard by health professionals is regarding the lack of sexual desire or sexual disinterest. I think we're on number eight. Only 29% of women report being able to achieve orgasm during sex. Why did I start this? In contrast, 75% of men always reach orgasm during sex. The last number. According to data accumulated from 2009 to 2010, up to 16% of couples where the woman is between the ages of 18 and 44 is experiencing infertility, almost double since the previous time infertility was measured in the nation in 1992. This is just amazing. And you also talked in your book about men don't flirt anymore. They don't flirt. And you talked about, we can go over this, what I just read from your book, but I just thought of this while I was reading. And also, you talked about taking the pill. So let's go through the survey, and then we'll get on to those other things.
Right. So with the survey, with the teachers here in London, where I live, did a survey with the teachers and said, you know, basically 28% of their students have some sort of mental disorder. You know, they're already demonstrating in childhood mental disability, mental illness of some kind. And this does not bode well for their future, of course. And unfortunately, when they do these types of surveys, a lot of the times the end game is to get them on psychiatric medications, which don't solve the problem. If anything, it's going to make these kids sicker in the long run. So our kids are very unstable, what happens is when they start manifesting symptoms, if they do get medications, and I point this out in the book very clearly, you know, the sexual side effects to the drugs themselves. So already are they, you know, having problems with their hormones, their brain function, but then they get slapped even harder by being given the psychiatric medications, which have side effects. So now they're really, you know, by the time they get into the 20s, 30s, 40s, they're just going to be so confused because they don't know what real energy feels like anymore. And so, you know, with drugs like Prozac, with some of these mood-altering drugs, one of the biggest symptoms that people are experiencing with these drugs is that they become asexual. And, you know, that's just one class of drugs, Deanna. Just one class of drugs. Let's say, you know, as these kids get older, next thing you know, they have high blood pressure or they're diagnosed, unfortunately, with this whole fraud around, you know, high cholesterol and so on. So let's say they get put on antihypertensives, or let's say they get put on statin drugs. Well, you know, the sexual side effects to those drugs are debilitating, absolutely debilitating potentially. And I have a whole list of drugs in my book that have, you know, debilitating sexual side effects. And this ties into my last book called Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic, where I'm talking about, you know, this mood disorder crisis that we have today and how running to drugs is not the answer. But I'm trying to tell people that these drugs have the side effects. It's bad enough that you feel terrible to begin with, but then you go and you take drugs and they make matters worse for many, many, many people out there. But the sad thing is when I, for example, talk to a man, for example, in his 40s or 50s, and let's say they've been put on some kind of antihypertensive drug or a statin drug, and they lose their erections. They are no longer able to be intimate with their wives. Had they known the side effect of the drug, they probably would not have taken the drug. They might have sought out more sound solutions, which would have involved diet and lifestyle changes, right?
Sure. And that's also true for prostate cancer. The treatment for prostate cancer actually makes you, oftentimes makes you impotent. Mm-hmm. When very few people with prostate cancer actually die from the disease, mm-hmm. They would die typically from something else.
Mm-hmm.
Before the cancer would kill them. So there's another thought I'd just like to interject. Mm-hmm. Adam Lanza was a vegan, and he also was probably on drugs. He was asexual. He admitted in an online forum when queried that he was asexual.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting.
The one, because, you know, the vegans, very tragically, you know, are being told that the diet is healthy, mm-hmm. healthy for the person, healthy for the planet, and so on. But as I say in my book, and as I often say in my seminars, you know, it's really very unsustainable if people are following a diet that makes them depressed, fatigued, you know, brain fogged, and infertile. That's just not sustainable, right? So they're doing this allegedly to create a sustainable environment, but it's everything but sustainable. I have examples in my book of even Marilyn Diamond, who wrote the book Fit for Life, that was the rage of a book back in the 1980s. And I interviewed her, and here she was, you know, a staunch, her husband Harvey, I mean, he was actually, as she explained to me, he was the one who really drove the vegan message, and she just followed along from the sounds of it. But she went 20 years in between becoming a vegetarian or a vegan. And as she explained to me, it basically almost killed her. And so now she's done a complete about face, and she is promoting a more ancestral diet, more of a Weston A. Price style diet with the animal fat.
Right.
So she's been able to regain her health, thank God, because she's been able to let go of the beliefs around, you know, the incorrect beliefs that animal fat and dietary cholesterol joined the dark side.
Sure. And Lierre Keith also had the same experience, just absolutely, totally ruined her health, according to her book.
Right. And I mentioned even John Nicholson, he wrote the book The Meat Fix, and Susan Schenk, who wrote the book Beyond Broccoli. I mean, I have a few examples in my book. I'm another example. I mean, I just, had I known the side effects of a vegan diet, I would never have done it.
Sure.
But I did it in the 1990s, when really the internet, you know, was in its infancy, so I didn't have access to the correct information, unfortunately. But had I known then what I know now, there's absolutely no way I would have been vegetarian or vegan. And, you know, what I see every single day with my clients is, you know, the ones who were vegetarian or vegan are going to be my sickest clients. They're going to be the ones that are going to be the toughest to get well, because when you're on a low-fat diet of any kind, or a no-fat diet in the case of a vegan diet, you know, your liver shuts down. You stop producing bile. You know, bile gets thick and it starts forming gallstones. And so now all of a sudden, you know, your bile is one of the main exit routes for heavy metals, for unwanted metals, right? And all of a sudden now you can't get rid of these metals. Now they're stuck inside of you. And a lot of these metals, they cross the blood-brain barrier, and they make the brain feel all fuzzy and foggy, and you feel real spacey. People feel really spacey. They can't make good decisions, and a whole bunch of other symptoms ensue. So essentially what my clients call themselves is toxic cesspools, that they are indeed toxic cesspools. And I know it's not a pretty picture, but that's as simple as I can make it. And when people are following either near vegetarian, vegetarian, or vegan diets, this weakens the liver. It makes the bile, it compromises bile production and bile flow, and it also will weaken the adrenal glands, because the adrenal glands play a huge role in terms of sending out messages in the body to pull out and excrete the unwanted metals. And they wear down just because of this inner toxicity that's building up year after year after year after year.
Sure. And you also mention in your book, you talk about the the crops. And you're really, you would be, the crops, you're talking about three particular crops that are grown widely. Soy, wheat, and what else? Corn. And these are really taking, you would be better off having, growing a diversity of crops. It's better for the planet, better for the soil, and certainly better for the people because, well, soy, corn, and wheat are cash crops. And then, of course, you have the glyphosates, Roundup. I mean, you have a really big mess.
Oh, yeah. And, the sexual side effects as well, potentially, from using genetically engineered foods. I have an excerpt in there from Professor Joe Cummins, who's a very dear friend of mine, and he cites some of the science behind, some of the research is coming out of, for example, even Russia, showing, that the infertility, the birth defects in the lab animals when they're exposed to these genetically engineered products. So it's, we have to be very, very careful in terms of, eating these fabricated foods. This is not natural. It's never been done in the history of mankind. It's a for-profit enterprise is all it is. It's not about health whatsoever. It's all about pleasing their shareholders. And, the science is just not there in terms of proving their safety. So, it's better to just err on the side of caution and keep these foods out of your life. But, Deanna, that's pretty easy to do when you get to know your local farmers, right? So if you
sure.
go to your local farmers and, they're staying away from genetically engineered foods with regards to raising their livestock and so on, you can probably do pretty well avoiding genetically engineered foods by focusing, buying your food from local farms. And that should, that should safeguard yourself and your families from these untested, unproven foods. So, we have to look at that picture as well. I know a lot of people are talking about genetically engineered foods as being, one of the factors that's going to depopulate the planet, but I think that's a real oversimplification. I do agree that there's a problem with them, but I don't think it's the only thing that's going to compromise
fertility. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because the infertility thing is associated with a lot of other issues that you've talked about, the fat in the diet, which I think is a really, really big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the fractured food. In your book, you cite some other things. Let's see. Miscarriages, premature births, children born with birth defects. And you say, according to the CDC, approximately one in every 33 babies, about 3% is born with a birth defect. And the health, in 2014, the World Health Organization announced that according to its data, American women are more likely to die in childbirth than they were two decades ago, making the United States one of the few countries where the risks from childbirth have risen in the past generation. In addition, in Canada, between 1990 and 2013, the maternal death rate rose from 6 to 11 per 100,000 births. This is pretty drastic.
I know, it's a first world country and we're spending trillions of dollars on healthcare. It's tragic. These women, when I work with women who have chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, anxiety, insomnia, no libido, etc., some of these women somehow or another manage to get pregnant. And each and every one of these pregnancies is a miracle. The mothers love their little ones and so on. I'm not taking any of that away from these women. But they will tell me up front that they were too sick to have been pregnant in the first place. Because after they have the baby, they collapse. And not only can they not take care of the children accordingly, they can't even take care of themselves. They can't get out of bed. And this is happening to young women today in their 20s and 30s, left, right, and center. It's just unacceptable. And they just don't have the foundation in order to be pregnant in the first place. Somehow or another, nature wants us to procreate so badly that these incredibly sick women are getting pregnant. In many cases, they're not, but in some cases, they are. But unfortunately, they're not being able to enjoy the full breadth of motherhood. You know, it's really very, very sad. And to undo the damage once it's done, it can take, you know, 2, 3, 4 years to undo the damage from years and years and years of malnutrition.
Sure.
So it's oftentimes I'm working with three generations, the mother, the grandmother, the mother, and the children, because there's three generations of people who are essentially battling things like chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, and so on.
I think there's a lot of people, as you said, that don't even know what it's like not to experience those things.
Right. So they're born sick today. And going back to what I was talking about earlier with regards to this high unemployment rate, is these kids are born sick. So they don't know that they have chronic fatigue. They don't know that their batteries are worn down from birth. So when they get into the ages of 16, 17, 18, they're so tired that all they can do is play video games, right? And they don't want to go out and get a job because it takes energy to go out and get a job. And because they don't know that they don't have any energy, they just stay home and whine, and their parents can't, they're shaking their head. Why is my kid not going to work? Why is my kid not being productive? Why are they not going to university? Why are they not doing well at school? And they can't understand it because these kids look fine on the outside, but they have no energy on the inside.
Exactly. All righty. We are going to a real quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, "Don't stop taking it." I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. At bugoutpanama.com.
HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide only at HempUSA.org.
We are back. This is Deanna. Our guest is Pam Colleen Her websites are pamcolleen.com, and she's got a right at the front of her book, she's got a whole list of how you can connect to her, and there's just a big list. So you're not going to have any trouble finding her. Anyway, she does have a Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/pam.colleen.9, and the last name is spelled K-I-L-L-E-E-N. You were talking about mothers who gave birth, and what a guest that I've had on previously, Donna Schwenk, who wrote Cultured Food for Life. She had a child. She was in her early 40s. She was just a mess. Mm-hmm. She was diabetic. She had just a mess after she had this baby. Mm-hmm. And she just could barely get off the couch. She was just awful. She mm-hmm. went to the health food store, and she ultimately started making cultured food, kefir, yogurt, and it cured her. I mean, she did just exactly what you've done. Mm-hmm. And you also talk about cultured food in your book, about right. making sauerkraut and that kind of thing.
Because the sour and the tart foods are crucial for getting the bile going, you see. So now you can have a better chance at detoxifying a lot of the agents that we're being exposed to, including the xenoestrogens. You know, a lot of people talk about these xenoestrogens, and you can't avoid them. The bisphenol A, the phthalates, you know, all of these industrial petroleum-based chemicals that mimic our estrogen are very toxic. And, I mean, all of us would have them accumulated in our bodies, so they overly estrogenize us. And, you know, we can talk about that until we're blue in the face. It's impossible to avoid the xenoestrogens. But one of the things people can do is to pamper their bile, making sure that the bile is operating properly. And the sour and the tart foods are there to basically thin the bile to make sure it's not thick, because that's what estrogen will do, is it will thicken your bile. So now you can't get rid of the estrogen. So you again start holding on to all of these synthetic estrogens, and they will interfere with your progesterone and interfere with your testosterone. So absolutely celebrate those sour and tart foods. And the lacto-fermented foods, of course, are usually very sour, very tart. And so every meal, make sure you're eating things like raw sauerkraut, hopefully your own homemade raw sauerkraut, or maybe you can get it at the health food store, or maybe from your local farmer. Make your own beet kvass, high-quality kefir, yogurt. All of these types of foods are really, really healthy in terms of supporting your bile.
Okay. Now, some people say, well, I'm lactose intolerant or something like that, or they can't eat cabbage. What do you say to people like that?
Well, a lot of that has to do with biochemistry, which is really complicated. It has to do with the adrenals being weak and digestion being weak. It's not the fault of the food. It is the fault of the person's individual biochemistry, is that they have just, they're just so incredibly toxic. Their cups are full. And so they're not producing enough hydrochloric acid in their stomach to be able to break down the protein properly. And as long as there's not enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach, then bile is shunted as well, because bile needs to show up on the scene in order to neutralize the acidity of the stomach contents coming out. You see,
okay.
So it's that transaction, but it's that the person is so weak, their digestion is weak. It's not the fault of the food.
Okay, this is the top of the hour. We'll be right back, and then we'll take some calls in the second hour here, third hour.